Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm your host for the update. And I'm joined this evening by Dave, a fellow monk at the monastery here, who has agreed to interview me about the launch of a Sangha-wide participation game launching today to support the work in Africa. Thanks for joining me, Dave.
Hey, Jen. So I am on the edge of my Zafu, as we all are here at the monastery. We've been waiting to hear about this for weeks. So let's see, where should we start? I think I understand that this is in honor of the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk.
It is indeed. So last year we realized, as we're doing all our materials and saying the 9th annual, okay, so if this is the 9th annual, then next year must be the 10th annual, and realizing what a huge milestone that is for really the entire Sangha, that it's been 10 years since Sherry first had the vision of the Sangha assisting in Africa, and wanting to really do something special to mark that milestone. And the Bridge Walk has become, you know, an annual event for a lot of people who live in California and who can get there, and it's a lot of fun, and we come together and we celebrate. And we wanted to do something in honor of the 10th annual that would have the whole Sangha have the option of participating. So not just people who can get here, and people do come from far away, actually, so I shouldn't discourage people from that possibility. But we wanted something that was wider than that, recognizing that not everyone would be able to join us in person.
Yeah, so it's a way to pull in everybody. So even if you're not able to make it to the Bridge Walk, you get to participate in the energy of the day and also the energy of the whole project and support the folks in Cantalumba.
Yeah. So if you happen to have gone to our website today, you'll see that the launch happened on our website. And I have to pause and just give a huge thank you to the team who put it together. So our web designer and IT person, Bob, our graphic designer, Marie, and Ashwini, who's the woman who's doing a lot of organizational coaching and sort of a volunteer CEO for us right now, have been working truly around the clock for quite some time now to put all of the elements of this participation game together that I'm about to describe to you. So I'm going to walk us through the website with all of it on there, and just as I do that, and I hope people will go and visit it and look at all of it. And just a huge thank you to that team for all they've done to put it together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful website, and I'm intrigued. It said at the top, it says, a Sangha-wide participation game. What's that all about? How does that work?
So, thanks for asking. So participating together to raise money for Africa is the byline. So it begins today. The event runs from today, June 21st, very fitting that it's the summer solstice, and it culminates on October 1st, which is the day of the walk. And so there are all kinds of ways to participate. And so this year, instead of having a fundraising goal, we have a participation goal. And our goal is to raise 10,000 points. So as a Sangha, we're trying to raise 10,000 points. And there are numerous, like endless ways to earn points. And most of them have to do with practicing, which is really fun. So I'll just give you some examples. Like, so email us a tweet. So people who follow Practice Everywhere on their smartphone or on Twitter or on Facebook, if you have an idea of one, send one in to us. And on the webpage that I'm looking at right now, there are links to do that, to email us a tweet suggestion. And that earns 2 points towards our Sangha participation goal. Or, for example, if you call into the radio show, that earns the whole Sangha 3 points. If you list something to sell on Sangha Market, that earns the whole Sangha 3 points. So there's a list on this website, which, by the way, you can access by going, if you just go click into our website, livingcompassion.org, it will take you to our homepage, and at the very top of our homepage is a link to all of the pages that I'm walking us through right now. And so the game is that each person, you know, so I'm a practitioner, I'm out there part of the Sangha, I'm doing my practice, and I'm earning points for the Sangha. And so there's one link that I just love that I think was Marie's brainchild that says, on the right-hand side, it says, see Bob's plan for the participation game. And that's not Bob, the RIT person. that's just a generic Bob. And if you open it up, it's got a window that shows all the different ways that this Sangha person, this fictional Sangha person, is participating in the game. And then it tallies his points. So it just shows how all of us working together are going to achieve this goal.
You know, that's really fun. What's fun about that is we always talk about practice. We do practice for us rather than just for me. And this is the first time I've ever seen a real tangible way to kind of measure that. And because as you were saying that, you know, so you send in a tweet and we get 2 points for us for the whole sangha. That's really fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about it. So all the practice that I'm doing for me, it is. It's a tangible way of saying it's not just for me, it's for us. And in this case, what's also fun about it is it's supporting the work in Africa. So here's how it's going to work. Every 2 weeks, there's a special promotion that we're doing, a featured participation way. The first participation way that we're featuring is to make a pledge. Okay, so see if you can track, because this is a little complex. So each person, or whoever wants to, decides, okay, I'm going to pledge towards whatever participation points the Sangha earns. So I might say, for every participation point the Sangha earns, I'm going to pledge 1 cent. And if we reach our goal of 10,000 points, that means I'm pledging $100. So at the end of the game, however many points we earn as a Sangha, that's how much money we'll get against the pledges that people have sent in.
Okay, so let me see if I'm with you. And actually, I'm not a plant on this call. Actually, this is brand new information to me. So it's kind of like if you were going to do a 10K to raise money, then you would get sponsored by the mile, kind of like that.
Exactly.
And so people could decide, I want to pledge a certain amount of money per point, and then as they're raised, then I would make that contribution, and that would be how it actually tangibly affects the folks in Cantalumba.
Yes, exactly. And so the thing that's fun about it is it's tying participation with the amount of money we're raising for Cantalumba. So at least to me, it's motivation. Oh, you know, I really want to up our points as a whole Sangha because I want those pledge dollars to increase. So I'm going to call into the radio show. I'm going to list something on Sangha Market. And then there's some huge point earners down at the bottom. Like if you come, sign up for the walk and come, that's 25 points. If you sign up for a retreat anytime during those dates, that's 50 points for the Sangha. So you're upping the participation points for the whole Sangha by doing anything you're doing to participate in practice.
Yeah, that's very clever. So I'm doing my practice, and I'm supporting myself, so I get to raise points. And it's not just that, but I'm actually raising the possibility of money for the folks in Cantalumba by my participation.
Yeah. And the thing that I love about it is that it honors that it's the entire Sangha who has really supported the work in Africa. I mean, people who follow the blog, people who are following along on the updates that Moyanda sends, you know, people follow us on Facebook, our Africa work on Facebook. It's much, much wider than the 200 people, let's say, who are going to join us on the 10th at the actual event of the Bridge Walk on October 1st.
Yeah, I just keep coming back to the same place. It makes tangible what's there already, which is everybody participating in practice and in the organization is what makes everything work and everything possible. And this is kind of like a way to manifest that and have in a tangible way to affect the folks in Cantalumba.
Yes, exactly. It's going to count that it underlines that everything each of us does counts. And we're actually one of the things we're scheming about is that during this time, the Voices cartoons are going to follow along in the theme. We're going to, once a week, there's going to be a peace quote that follows along on the theme. The good news updates are going to follow along on the theme. So all of it is going to kind of work together to illustrate it.
Yeah. That's neat. Now, I'm looking on the website, and it looks like there's a place that says funds raised to date. So do we actually get to watch the funds go up as we go along?
We do indeed. Yep, and they're updated weekly. And actually, I'm looking at the little box. It says 110 points. So it just launched today, and we already have 110 points. And the really fun thing about that is the way we got those points is that on the last couple of radio shows, we've asked people to send in the word participation. They, of course, had no idea why they were doing that, and yet over 50 people did that. And so for every one of those, we got 2 points as a Sangha. So we're currently at 110, and that's not even current because there are some we haven't included in there. And so what's neat about that is that people just said, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it, and they already started earning points for us.
Yeah, that's so cool. So that's what that help was all about. That's really fun.
So I want to say a little bit more about the pledging. So if you are on the participation game page and you look on the right-hand side, it'll say current promotion. It's a little blue box with a yellow star. And if you click on that, it takes you to the details of how to make a pledge. So one important thing to know is that, let's say as a Sangha we blew through our goal and we got 20,000 points, you're not held to. Let's say you've pledged 1 cent, you're not going to have to pay way more than you thought. So the way the pledge works is you say, I want to sponsor, say, 1 cent as an example, up to 10,000 points. And then if we blew through that goal, it would be up to you to decide if you wanted to up your pledge. That would be fine. But you're only held to whatever the 10,000 points would be. And it walks you through how to calculate it, you know, so the math isn't all high level and you can kind of figure out basically what financial commitment you want to make to it.
So if you go to that page, I'm looking at it. It looks like that kind of teaches you how to do that, mm-hmm. make a pledge like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. So I know for me, when we started crafting this, it inspired me to, I'm going to go to my family and ask them if they would be willing to support, you know, the work that we're doing. And as, you know, my family, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, all of that sort of thing, how much together is it possible for us to come up with? And then I'll pledge that amount, okay? So I'm going to pledge, you know, 5 cents per participation point up to 10,000 points.
Oh, I see. So it would be like the Gen team. You're going to pull together the resources you have, and you guys will have a team, and you guys will make like a team pledge towards against those participation points.
Yep, exactly. And meanwhile, we're back there all wanting to get more participation points because then we'll get more pledge dollars.
Right.
And so, okay, I'm really going to listen to the radio show this week so that we get those 3 points.
Yeah, you guys will be sending in a lot of tweets, I bet you.
Exactly. So I know we got to go, but last thing I wanted to bring people's attention to, and as I say, we're going to be continuing to talk to folks about this over the course of the time between now and October 1st. So we'll have lots more time for people to jump in and ask questions and hear about things and hear stories. But I did want to call people's attention to, in that same right-hand side of the page, there's a feature that says Featured Story, which is quite fun. And hopefully going to be updated weekly, assuming that we get stories. On the left-hand side is a participation story from Cantalomba that Moyunda sends in. And right now, they're featured, this adorable set of twins.
You have got to see this picture.
Yeah, they're just, oh my gosh, these huge smiles. And it's a really neat story about these two little guys are some of the most recent recruits into the program. They were terribly malnourished, Moyunda said, when they first got there, listless. And they're just thriving right now.
Yeah, they have pretty much the biggest smiles on their faces that I've ever seen on a human.
And then on the right-hand side is a story of someone in the Sangha here on this side of the Atlantic and how they're participating. This is a story about Rico, who plants a garden every year and gives away the vegetables for a donation that he then gives to the work in Africa. And so we hope other people write to us about your story and how you're choosing to participate, and we'll feature as many of those as we can on the website.
Yeah, really slick and really neat, neat way to bring us all in. I'm just so inspired by what I can see is going to happen with this.
Yeah. And it's already been such a team effort, you know, from the folks I mentioned in the beginning of the show who put it all together, and then up to the 110 points that we already have there. Because everyone's already jumped in and been willing to participate. And actually, there are $50 pledged, and I actually have no idea how that got there. So somehow in the course of today, someone, bless their heart, got on there and pledged $50. So we're off and running. So thanks for interviewing me, Dave.
You're quite welcome. My pleasure. It's fun to find out about it and find out what's happening.
Yep. All right, Michael, sorry for being over time. We'll hand it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Dave. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I'm not sure I can do the show today because I need to be working on my participation points.
I was just, as I was listening, I was cruising around through all of that and thinking, let's see now. I'm glad they're going to help me with the math because I want to do that so much point. And then, yeah, it's really, really, really fun.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
That is so fun. I was doing the same thing. I was cruising around, and then I realized, oh, wait, I got to do something here for the radio show.
Oh, dear.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so inclusive. That is what I love about practice.
Yes, me too. Yeah, me too. Tomorrow morning, I have my time set aside to do a little blog on this on participation, kind of just talking about some of the things that have been happening for us close to home. What we're all left with is, God, it's fun to participate with Sangha. And so now with this opportunity, I mean, it doesn't matter where anybody is in the world. We're all doing this together, and that's the thing that we love best.
It's really great. I can see I'm going to spend a lot of time at that website there.
Right.
Getting my points.
Yeah.
And when I saw those stories about Rico and the kid, I almost burst into tears. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's such a great one, because oftentimes we can get stumped about, what should I do? And if it's something that you already do or something that you love to do, but you can do it with this little twist of supporting the work in Africa, then it's just, again, everybody wins.
Yes. Practice seems like it's always a win-win-win.
Yeah, yes, it is, which is, again, something that's kind of important to us, because people think spiritual practice is... course, conditioning, you know, this is conditioning conversation. You're just going to have to give up everything that's fun, and you never get to do anything good, and you never, you know, that your social life is just gone, and how are you ever going to get what you want? And actually, I'm convinced that we have more fun. As a Sangha, we have more fun than just about anybody on earth.
So beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah, and especially, Dave is right. I can't believe those children can grin that hard and not hurt themselves. But then there's the rest of it. You know, it's that we get to do all of this for such a great cause.
Yes, indeed. We are very blessed. Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
You will be at Namaste in Felton, California, the end of July 29th and 30th for What Do Power, Success, and Fun Have in Common, which is a fundraiser for, as we've been talking about, the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
I'd have to find out if we get points for that.
You know, I think I saw it on there.
Oh, is that right?
Something about Namaste.
Oh, very, very good.
Yes. And then on Saturday, August 6th, you'll be in Edmonds, Washington, which is Seattle, talking about connecting to your inner wisdom. And then the following weekend, August 12th through 14th, you'll be at Esalen for a weekend workshop, What Do These Questions Have in Common? And if you didn't hear it in the earlier part of the show, it's time to make plans to join Sherry in the month. For the 10th annual Bridge Walk and this amazing participation game. Not sure if it has a specific name, but I'll have to go back and look. And what I remember is participation.
Yeah. I think the participation game would just about get us where we needed to go.
Great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And I think we're all set.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
I know this might sound, you know, like I'm making it up, but actually, I was thinking about you just yesterday.
Wow.
And thinking that we had not heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I'm actually calling on schedule. I think it's my 5 weeks.
Then I am confused.
Well,
it seemed like much longer than that to me.
Yeah, it's funny because before the time I talked to you was a long time. And you know what's really funny is I was listening to the archives and I heard the show today with me calling in.
Well, good. What's going on?
Oh, well, the last time I called, I was talking about this process that I have that happens at work, where I get dissatisfied because karma comes in and compares me to everyone and I don't measure up, and then I get resentful and angry. And well, you told me to do the 30-day retreat around that.
Ah.
And around finding compassionate self-acceptance. And so I've been doing it and this month. And, well, today I was really practicing like my hair was on fire.
Mm. Yeah, and was that because the karma was really after you?
Yes. Yes. Yesterday was really, really hard, and I just decided I did not want to have another day like yesterday. And what I did differently today was I came in with a will to not let the karma get to me. I meditated at work. I actually went to a special area to meditate for a half hour. I actually listened to my tapes at work. Usually what I do is I listen to my recording listening practice when I'm walking to work and when I'm leaving work, but there's this huge gap where basically I think what happens is that I give myself permission to go unconscious.
Oh, yeah. Or probably you're not there to say no when conditioning suggests that it would be a good time to go unconscious.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's what I was kind of thinking, because yesterday it just felt like there was no one there for me, and I just felt like everybody had left and I was alone with self-hate.
Probably alone and fairly young.
Yeah, and I felt really, really sad and really isolated. And so today what I did is I was a lot more conscious, and I called on the mentor. This morning I listened to 3 different reassurance tapes before I even got up for a half hour.
Wow. Good for
you. Yeah. And then when it really started to hit me during the work day, I just listened to all these tapes. And what's really interesting is I found this one tape that I probably made 2 or 3 years ago, and I didn't even really listen to it. And then I just miraculously found it, and it's this tape that says, "I like you." And it's for when I'm identified with being really alone and no one liking me or approving of me. And it was incredible because I found it maybe 2.5 weeks ago, and I listened to it, and it was just what I needed to hear.
Yeah. I love those miracles that happen with some regularity in practice.
Yeah.
Where you hear just the thing you need to hear.
And this karma, I don't know, you know, it's just so strong. And, you know.
Well, it is. And that's, you know, what you describe is exactly the way it keeps people in bondage. So there's a story that you will believe. Right? That
mm-hmm.
you're less than, or people don't like you, or whatever it is that story is. And it starts, conditioning starts the conversation. And that conversation, because it's being spoken to someone who believes it, then that conversation turns the world that's being projected into reality. So that everything looks as if the conversation is true and real, and then the person is sunk.
And you know, that's why today what I decided to do was listen to the tapes, because what happens is that I'll be in work and I'll be projecting all this onto other people that they don't approve of me. And so finally I just took out the tape and just put the iPod on, put the headphones on, and just resisted all that talk that said, oh, you better not do this at work. People might know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And it's great, isn't it? Because resistance is meant to be in the domain of karmic conditioning. So what it's doing it constantly is resisting life as it is, so that the stories that it's putting forth will continue to seem true, will appear believable. Yeah. So then, now you have tools and techniques to go up against it. And what it says is, oh no, you shouldn't use those. That you can't do that at work.
Yeah. And it's okay to use it when you're not at work, but not.
Yeah. But and what you've doped out is that's because it's been counting on you being at work as a time that it can take you into unconsciousness. And so, of course, it wants that extended period of time to suck the life force out of you.
If I can't suck the life force out of you when you're not at work, I at least have, 8 to 10 hours where I can.
Yeah, exactly. So then that's so good, because I've talked to so many people who were really believing a story about, well, I can't listen to this stuff when I'm at work. I mean, what will people say? And then somehow they get the courage to do it, and nobody says anything. Nobody even notices what it is that they're doing. Very good.
Yeah. And, it was telling me yesterday that I should quit, that conditioning is stronger than I am, and that I should just accept the fact that it's going to get me at work, and I might as well just never work again. That's the story I was hearing.
What a really good idea. Yeah, it's just filled with wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah. And, maybe for a while it wouldn't get me as much, but it would probably find some other way.
Oh, you know it would. First of all, as soon as you quit, it would have an endless list of names to call you for having quit. Yeah? And then it gets to set up what the rest of your life is like, because you cannot go up against karmic conditioning. And so it means this, and this about your life.
It's
about
the ultimate,
who you are.
The ultimate victim story.
Yes, exactly. And you have to stay there for the rest of your life, because what choice do you have? You can't go to work. Yeah. Say, no thanks.
Yeah, and if conditioning wins and I can't go up against conditioning, then basically, really the rest of your life is, everything stems from being able to drop it.
Yeah. Yeah, so what if it could ever convince you that you are weaker than it is, then that's a mighty rugged place to be. And, of course, it is such a lie, because, in fact, in truth, in reality, it is not the stronger force. That's why it's working so hard all the time.
I'm so glad that you're saying that, Sherry, because now I have it on tape, and I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, anytime you forget. It is so pathetically powerless compared to the wisdom, love, and compassion that life is. I mean, the only way it can appear to have any power at all is that people get talked into giving all their attention to it. So if conditioning convinces you that the sound of dogs barking is the worst thing in the world, that you can't, that it's hell, you cannot possibly live a happy life, and I'm not making this up, I have actually talked to people who have these kinds of things going, and you get talked into that and you believe it, then it is going to have you listening around the clock for the sound of dogs barking.
Oh, I totally get what you're saying, because it does that exact same thing. It's not dogs barking, it's that I can't find any quiet anywhere.
Yeah. So it's just scanning, scanning, and all of the attention is going to whatever noise is going on, and that's proof that life is hell and that there's nothing that you, and the whole story that gets laid out.
It's great that you say that, because I was meditating at this special room at where I work, and they were doing construction today.
Gotta love it.
Now you're talking about that. That's so funny because, yes, it was trying to convince me there was no point in meditating, and I just kept repeatedly dropping it.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get the hang of putting our attention where we want it to be, instead of giving our attention to it's immediately clear that, oh, no. No, life is much more vast, much more powerful. So that's the importance, of course, of that recording and listening practice, learning to direct the attention, putting the attention on the recording that you want to hear, on the choice that you're making, choosing life, and it just that conditioning, we can watch it wither.
And it's so funny you mention that because conditioning's been trying to use the retreat against me and making me suffer over, oh, I want to go to that retreat so bad and I can't go this year.
You mean the What You Practice retreat?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do it again in August. If we've had so many students and teachers and people who are only off in the summer that we found dates. So there's going to be a notice that comes out, still time to get your plane ticket.
Well, I will. I don't know if I'll be able to do August because I'm actually teaching that month. But if you have another one, I definitely want to be there.
Okay.
So.
Well, I suspect there will be another one at some point in the future. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Good
Sherry,
to hear from you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Justin calling.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, it's so good to hear your voice and to hear Jen and Dave's voice. I was actually at the retreat 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Retreat. And I've been working with your work for a couple of years now, but this is the first time I'm able to get out to retreat. And it was just fantastic. I just loved it. So,
oh, good.
It was just so much more than I expected. So just an ad for anyone listening and who hasn't. I mean, I'm sure everyone has, but if you haven't, it was just so life-changing for me.
So let's just stop and take that in since you're giving that great testimonial. So anybody out there who hasn't done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, you highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Good, good.
So the one thing I did want to talk about since coming back, which for me has been very profound, has been custody of the eyes.
Yeah.
And I chatted to Jen about this before I left, you know, when we talk about coming back to your regular life, I guess. And for me, the custody of the eyes initially, I thought it was just a courtesy or just polite around the monks, but really it really profoundly changed the way how I kind of keeping an introspective focus.
Yes. Yes.
And I've carried that through to, everyday life now.
Yes. It's so much easier to have your attention for yourself when your eyes are not scanning constantly for what's going on around you.
Well, and that's what I found. So there's two things. There's the first, exactly. It's that keeping the focus internally. And then also I find that it's just so energetically separate. Like it sucks the energy out of me when I'm constantly looking and comparing.
Yes.
So I'm looking at people and then comparing myself in whatever way. I mean, goofiest ways. I'm looking at, whether it's marketing or whether it's, like adverts and stuff or even cars or, everything around me. Everything is, it's the judgment system that just sucks so much energy.
We're so conditioned that it draws us into that dualistic world. So I like that, I don't like that. That's beautiful, that's ugly, I want to, I don't want to, I should, I shouldn't. It's just constant.
And then stuff that I used to think was so benign, like people watching, for example. Just sitting at a cafe or whatever and just watching people. Just seems so detrimental now.
And not benign at all.
Absolutely. And even kind of turning away from advertising, which is tough sometimes, but keeping, and I know you've spoken so much about, attention and awareness, and in the past I've kind of just listened to it and rolled my eyes or whatever. not in a bad, I mean, just,
yeah,
it's really,
so whatever,
really the profundity of just doing, making a simple change like that for me has been really helpful.
Well, just when you say that, what occurs to me is that it gives us our lives back for ourselves because we're so conditioned to focus outward. And then not to realize that we are victims to everything that comes into our sphere because of the depth of the conditioning that we have. So to practice custody of the eyes, to keep the attention focused inward, suddenly you get to be the star of your own show. You get to be the key player. And that's not in an egocentric way. In fact, quite the opposite. When we don't have any say over our attention and awareness, we are doomed to live in the world of egocentric karmic conditioning. When we bring attention back to awareness, now we've moved into the land of potential freedom.
And I'll tell you, just like the previous caller, there was just so much resistance to it.
Yeah.
Like I walked to work in rush hour, and keeping my eyes down conditioning just kept telling me that I look foolish, not making eye contact with people.
Yeah.
So the resistance to that has been, I'm getting through it, and I'm committed to it because I see the benefit, conditioning has just so much to say about how peculiar or how awkward I look, or
yes,
people perceive me, right?
Yes, and when we catch on, as with the previous caller, that the reason for all that resistance is that's how conditioning is keeping us in bondage. So if it can maintain control over your attention, getting you to look at this and that and this and that, what it's able to do is reinforce that unconscious, life in egocentric karmic conditioning. When you withdraw your attention from it, then and bring it back to yourself, it's in danger of losing control of its energy source. So yeah, it's going to have a lot to say. And of course, what we know from our own experience is, it doesn't care a fig if you look foolish. In fact, it loves it when you look foolish, because that's a huge
opening for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge energy spurt for it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sherry, and again, just thanks to all the mugs and all the other participants as well. I just had such a great time, and everybody in the group, they know who they are. They're just so helpful, and
people are gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah, just so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, letting us and them know that. That's great.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Justin. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob Cohen.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Sherry, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, it seems like there's a theme tonight, because I called in to talk about resistance.
Uh-huh.
I've been looking at resistance, and I want to check out a few things and see if see if what I'm seeing is sounds about right. One of the things I was looking at yesterday, because I was actually having a fair amount of success against conditioning around resistance, and when I was looking at it today, what seems to be true is that there always seems to be resistance around things that support my heart and that bring me joy.
Uh-huh. My experience as well.
Yeah, and so what I found really helpful recently is setting intentions around what I want to do, writing them down, posting them, recording and listening around it, so that when conditioning comes in and says, well, do you really want to exercise? Do you really want to, don't you want to eat this thing instead? That kind of stuff. That there's just more, it's easier to get back to not be in that conversation, but instead be looking to, what actually was my intention around this?
Uh-huh. So the language itself, because you're setting intentions, because you're recording and listening, if it starts talking to you about those subjects, there's a chance that we'll go, now wait a minute, I have something else going about that. What was it?
Yeah. And the really nice thing I've found around it is that I don't see, I mean, maybe it will at some point, but I don't see the process of resistance going away. Like whatever conditioning is doing to try and draw me into whatever it wants me to do. But it does seem like the more I'm bringing awareness to it, to different pieces of it, that I can just catch on sooner, and I don't live from resistance for as long a time as I once did.
Yeah. Yeah. And, just when you say that, the funny thing about it for me, see if this is a turning point for you as well. For a while, resistance seems like, I'll talk about me, like it seemed like it took care of me. So, exercise. So I get up in the morning and conditioning says, I don't want to exercise. I don't feel like I'm tired. I whatever it is. And if I'm not aware of what's going on, it feels like that voice is me and is on my side and taking care of me. But if I've watched it long enough to realize that, no, what I want for myself myself is to be healthy, to be fit. I want to feel good, and part of that, along with eating right and all those other things, is exercising. So my choice from my heart is to exercise. Then when that voice starts in of, oh, I don't want to, I don't feel, I know that's karmic conditioning and not me speaking from authenticity.
Yeah, definitely, you know, because I think both the What You Practice retreat and recording and listening practice have really started to make that sink in for me that is not me, you know, that whatever is bringing up resistance is not me.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it much easier to then say, okay, so then what do I want? And if I've already, you know, from a place of center looked at that, it's much easier to get to and to move away, you know, move my attention essentially away from conditioning and back to, you know, what supports me.
Yeah. 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 It's such a funny thing, or sad, or whatever, that we can buy into that thing that we choose, that it's choosing ourselves to choose things that don't make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you say, the resistance to anything that is for your heart or that brings you joy, and that we can get duped into believing that things that make us unhappy are good for us or taking care of us, or that's who we authentically are, that's what we want. It's such a strange thing to fall for.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing, I had this day yesterday where it both sort of illustrated the process, and it made me see like how far I've come along in seeing it and dealing with it. Where, you know, like I knew when I woke up that my day was just going to be jam packed, and you know, a couple of years ago I would have easily have made the choice, okay, well just get, you know, just toss aside all the things that I've now committed to, like meditation, to exercise, to eating well, and just do the thing that's on my to-do list.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I believed that for years. And yesterday, you know, it's like, look, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's like I was in that place of, like, I wasn't, you know, like conditioning was really coming at me, and all I could come up with is I don't know what the right thing to do is, but because from a place of center and because of the recording listening practice, I had already set my intentions. It was much easier to say, okay, well, I don't know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take and do the next thing on my schedule.
Uh-huh. And the next thing on my schedule happens to be meditation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then exercise, and then working some, and then taking a break when I'm told I shouldn't be taking a break. And it's just, I don't know, it just, there's something about it that, just to like have that experience over and over again, that making the choice, you know, based on my heart and what supports me, actually leads to, it doesn't lead to anything that conditioning tells me it was going to.
Right.
And it makes it so much easier. I guess what it is it makes it possible to live joyfully more often when I'm doing that. And attend to all these things that conditioning tells me I'm not going to be able to do because I've made all these other choices.
Yeah. 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 And I too have watched that. And the, you know, to get to the end of the day and I got through everything on my work list, which of course I didn't, but at least for today. And the feeling is of being completely unfulfilled because I was left out of the equation. It's like, you know, somebody is going to take you out for your birthday and they've got this whole day arranged and it has nothing to do with who you are or what you like or what you want to do. They've just done what they wanted to do all day long and said it was for you. And that's that feeling of being driven by conditioning through a to-do list. You know, so I get talked into it and believe it and buy it and all of that. But at the end, I don't have that feeling that I'm promised of, oh, this feels great, I got so much done. No, I just feel kind of used. And yet, if I take care of myself and keep my commitments, I often find that I get as much, if not more, done And at the end of the day, I feel great.
Yeah, that's my experience too. And for those times where I don't get all the things that, you know, that are on my list to do, you know, what I find out is that there isn't the consequences that conditioning tells me there is.
Right. Yeah. Nobody died.
Nobody died. Nobody hates me. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. 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 And then, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry.
Well, that's incredibly helpful. And thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I'm Michael and Sherry.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and just sort of nervous as usual when I call in, and I wanted to call in especially because the last time I called in, I got such a beating about how, just about whatever, how dumb I sounded and how I get so identified. And so I just said, you know what, I got to call. I got to call again.
We can't put up with that kind of thing.
No. And just wanted to say how helpful the archives are. Just, I listen to them several times a day and just always get something great out of them, and just really appreciate, you know, that's available to us.
Yeah, it's really fun, isn't it? Because, of course, a huge part of what our practice is group discussions, because it's being with one another and realizing that we're all pretty much identical, and all of that stuff that conditioned mind is throwing at us all the time is like a script. You know, just about everybody is listening to some version of that at any given moment. And so we hear that. We hear other people struggling with what we struggle with, and we hear insights and all kinds of things. So being together as a Sangha is a huge part of our practice. And then there are people out in the world who don't really have access to groups who are doing that, or don't have access to that very often. And so there's the radio show, and it's just kind of like an hour-long discussion group.
Yes, and also I really appreciate that as a monthly donor, I have access to some group recordings from the monastery, and I just really love that. I feel like just sort of privileged, you know, to get to listen to that. And
well, that's true. I forgot about that. So monthly donors to the monastery, or I guess to Living Compassion, you get tapes or podcasts of like the Sunday morning groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great. And in fact, something particularly, you know, that struck me was someone was talking about when you make a commitment, how it's not just about doing or not doing what you committed to, but it like shines a spotlight on, you just know conditioning is going to resist it and going to try everything to stop you.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a double win, you know, either way. You,
right.
If you're staying awake and aware, you're gonna learn something, and you know likely, well, like in my case, I'm committed to walking every day a couple weeks ago, and it's just so interesting how, you know, such resistance, and then just shining that light on there, you know, and saying, wait a minute, I've never gone on a walk that I've regretted, and
right.
I want to be fit. I don't like being overweight. All these things. And it's just been great. It's so fun to hear, you know, other people talk about commitments and whatever the content is. It's so cool that we all, you know, can share that.
So the point that you're making is a really important one. So I make a commitment to something, and right then I cannot lose. Because if I keep my commitment, yay, you know, I'm going to walk every day. Good. I'm walking every day. Excellent. Getting healthier every day. If I don't walk, then I get to see what conditioning did to talk me out of doing that. So either way, I'm getting more fit. I'm becoming more aware. And, of course, what conditioning uses against people is I make a commitment to walk every day, I miss a day, and then it just launches into what a bad person, what a loser, what a whatever it is. So if I just go unconscious and take the beating, then there, that's a familiar story. But if I stay awake and watch how it talks me out of walking so that it can beat me up, I'm way ahead of the game.
Right. And it's just more inspiration to do it. You know, and also the recordings have really helped with this, you know, especially with the commitments, like just exactly what you were talking about earlier, about it was such a like a shift in realizing the stories about I'm too tired or this and that. That's not me. You know, that is not me. That's not from my heart. That's not what I really want.
Right.
And so it's just so cool. Just something that also really struck me and just been with me so strong is that our thoughts are just like clouds, you know, passing by.
Uh-huh.
And so even those, all those really strong stories that's, you know, taking care of me, it's like, no, just go by, you know, I know that's not really me. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
So we always do this, you know, this little thing because it's really true and it really is true. If this were your best friend, your sister, your mother, your father, your whomever, who said to you, you know, I really want to walk every day because I feel like my fitness is failing and I know it would be really good for me. Would you walk with me?
Mm-hmm.
And of course you would say, absolutely. And you go through anything to show up for them. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's no way you would say, oh no, don't go today. You look tired. Why don't you have a pizza and a six pack of beer? That'll help you out. You know, it's ridiculous. There's no way we would do that with somebody we really love. And so to bring that back to ourselves and be able to know that, no, I love this human. I've been given this human to take care of in this lifetime, and I'm gonna do that. So let's go. We're walking.
Yeah, and then now it's, you know, just builds that trust too, that because I did abandon, or whoever, I felt abandoned by myself for so many years, and so now that I'm not, it just, you know, it's just so great how it builds on itself, like that trust and that relationship with the mentor, and just so thankful for the practice.
Yeah. So as a friend of mine says, you know, Gusho, is my heart and your heart are one. And she always talks about living in Gusho, you know, living in that place of our hearts are one. And that's what it's like to me when that relationship of trust and kindness and compassion and support for the human that we call I or me, when that's established, then we really are living in Gusho.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. And I'm excited about the Sangha-wide participation game. That sounds great.
I know. As soon as the show is over, I'm going on the website and finding
me too.
All the, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Janet.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going really well. This is so interesting. It's like I call a lot, and I got really nervous tonight.
Huh.
I'm sitting here going, wow, I'm getting really nervous to get on the call. So that was really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't it fun when being nervous about something is just interesting?
Yeah, it's just interesting. It's a sensation.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there's something wrong or something awful is going to happen. It's just, that's interesting. I don't feel that.
I know. And conditioning was trying to come in and say, well, is it about the content, what you're going to talk about? And, you know, it just kept coming in trying to figure out the reason why. And then I would just kind of let that go, too.
Right.
I was like, oh, God, I really don't want to go there. I'm
so
not in the
so
mood.
Exciting.
Well, I really wanted to talk. I was just so full of gratitude for the practice tonight. We had group here tonight, and then I was writing in about group, and I was just writing in about the practice, and I was writing in about everything, and I was just filled with so much love and thankfulness. And I have a really close friend who's dying right now, and she and I we grew up together, and we're 2 days apart, you know, when we were born. She's actually 2 days older than me, and she's one of those friends that, you know, you don't have to see for a long time, and then when you see them, you know, you just know them.
Yeah, yeah.
We just know each other. We have been around together before.
Yeah.
And
pick up the conversation where you left it off the last time you were together.
Yeah, yeah. And what? And she doesn't live near me, so I've actually gone to say goodbye to her. I've traveled to say goodbye because she is literally going to die within the next few months at, you know, what they're looking at. And she is just so beautiful. She's so beautiful in her transition and her dying, you know, just as she was in life. And I'm learning so much from her, and I'm just getting so much love from her. And what she's doing is that she's not resisting life. There is no resistance, but it's not like, okay, well, I'm just gonna die. It's like, no, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling this, but I'm here. This is it. This is what's happening. This is my life.
My life right now. And it sounds like she brought a great deal of that to her life before this day.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, cause I don't think you can just drop into it.
Right. People idealize that, and conditioning would have us believe that we can. You know, we'll just resist and be upset and in that conversation and negative, and then when we find out we're dying, then we'll be open-hearted and loving and kind of Mother Teresa slash.
Yeah, no. No, and I just feel so privileged to be part of her life and part of what's happening, and to be getting the love that she is. And I was thinking about her, and then I was thinking about practice, and then I was thinking about calling. And I said, you know, I just want to put it all together. I want to bring her into my practice, into my love, into, you know, to you, to the Sangha. I just want to, just kind of cry, but I just want to put her in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like she already is.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she actually knows that.
She does.
Yeah.
She does, and it's just... And I'm just so thankful that I am where I am so that I can be there in the way I'm there for all of it.
Yes.
That I'm not missing it.
Yes, because that's not a given, is it? She probably,
no.
In fact, has people in her life who are not having the experience that she's having at all.
She does, yes. Yeah. So I'm, yeah. It's just, you know, it doesn't sound weird. I mean, it doesn't sound weird to say it right now, but sometimes to some people it sounds really weird. Like, you know, her dying is just so beautiful. She's just so beautiful.
Yes, and wouldn't we all wish that our lives could be that kind of gift, that expression of love?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And right through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the way, of course, for us to practice that is to practice that now, right? Which is another thing it sounds like she's modeled beautifully. If you want to die beautifully, it's the critical piece of that is living beautifully.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Modeled beautifully. And, yeah. So thank you so much for being there so I could just call and put everything I love together. You know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to put her in the middle of it and bring you to her.
And her to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. I'll see you soon.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us, Janet. You've been listening to Open Air. Sherry, a very beautiful show.
Yeah, gosh. It's a very heart opening, isn't it?
Incredibly so. Incredibly so. And I have a last-minute news bulletin here that we have some more information about the Sangha-wide participation game.
What happened?
Let's hear from Jen. Jen, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
First, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Andrea, Justin, Bob, Chris, and Janet because they all just earned us 3 points in our participation game. How fun is that? And I asked Michael to make me live again at the end of the show because I left out, I think, the best part about the next couple weeks. So I mentioned that the featured promotion is making a pledge towards the participation points. And so our goal as a Sangha is to have 150 pledges made in the next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And if we make that, we get 500 bonus points.
Whoa!
I know. How fun is that? But that's not even the best part. Here's the best part. everyone who makes a pledge in the next 2 weeks gets entered in a drawing to have an individual guidance appointment with Sherry Huber. How fun is that, Michael?
Well,
I know Sherry can't
I'm going to make a pledge.
But Sherry can't speak to that one, but Michael can.
I'll make a pledge.
I mean, all kidding aside, that's you know, that's a very generous gift that the guide is putting forward for us, because, you know, it's not very often that we get to have a one-on-one kind of a opportunity like that. So that's really, really huge. So everyone who makes a pledge in the next 2 weeks will be entered in. There'll be 3 guidance appointments that we're giving away. So
wow.
Very exciting.
3 guidance appointments. So everybody who enters in the next 2 weeks, I get a chance to talk with 3 of them.
That's right.
Very fun. Thank
very
you.
Very fun. Yep.
All right.
Thanks for making me live, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.